From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Holy Spirit as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Work of the Spirit in the Ministry of Christ. As we'll see, the Holy Spirit was active in every portion of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, from His birth to His resurrection and glorification. When the angel appeared to Joseph as he considered putting away Mary, who was found with child, the heavenly messenger said, That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will seek to help us understand the great mystery of how Christ's sinless humanity and His essential deity were brought together in the Incarnation. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Did God create evil? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The Lord, through Isaiah, tells us, yes, I create evil. What? Does that mean God's the author of sin? No, He doesn't say I create sin. The word evil in Scripture is a word of wide meaning. It may speak of iniquity, but as it does in this context, it speaks of calamity as well. When you talk about the evils of life, you may be speaking of pornography, you may be speaking of murder, you may be speaking of theft, gangs and all the rest of it, or you may be speaking of disasters, the calamities that overtake people. And in the context in which God was speaking of Him creating evil, He's saying, when these calamities overtake nations, remember, they are not accidents. I am in charge. Now, I know that in our day, people rebel against this. God didn't send the tsunami. God doesn't send the hurricane. God doesn't send this and that. But at the end of the day, we're not dealing with the impersonal forces of nature. We're dealing with the eternal God, the judge of all the earth. Now, let me back up a minute. When God sends a natural disaster, it doesn't say it's there because those people were more wicked than the rest of the people. It doesn't say that. In fact, the Lord Jesus points that out very clearly. But nonetheless, God says, I'm the one, I send the calamities that overtake the nations of this world. I send them. I am the judge of this earth. I am working out my purpose in the earth. And when I put it that way, let me remind you, we see just so little, and we understand so little. If you can imagine yourself as a one-year-old or a two-year-old child, and you're standing in front of a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you look at one little piece, and you say to yourself, that makes no sense. I cannot understand that. Does that say it has no purpose? It is not a beautiful thing in its own right? No, it doesn't. It simply says you don't see it. That's the way we are when we look at the purposes of God. What God is doing in the world, even by His judgments, He's bringing everything toward His own foreordained consummation that will glorify Him and bring to pass His purposes in their entirety. Did God create sin? No, He didn't. As some philosophers have pointed out, sin is what we could call something of a negative entity. It's always a negation of something good God created the good. Sin is the negation of it. God did not create sin. Does God create evil in the sense of God sending calamities that afflict the nations of the world? He said, yes, I do. Learn this. I am your judge. Learn from those calamities to repent and be converted, because there's a far greater calamity that lies ahead. That's the calamity of the second death for those who live and die yet outside of Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS at freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? how do we know the Bible is the Word of God, and is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Now today we're continuing with our studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read some verses in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and then Isaiah 42 in verse 1, and Isaiah 61 in verse 1. So get your fingers in all three places. And then we proceed with the reading. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Then chapter 61 from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of these three brief passages from his own precious word for his name's sake. The vastness of the role of the Holy Spirit of God as it's taught by the Word of God comes as a great surprise to many Christians. You see, to most Christians nowadays, the work of the Holy Spirit is limited to regeneration, to sanctification, and enabling believers to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with power. Now, these are very important parts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but nothing could be further from the truth than to limit the working of the Spirit of God to such a very confined area. If you have been with us over our past studies, you'll remember that we have seen the specific mentions of the working of the Holy Ghost in the realm of creation. Then we have proceeded, and we have seen him working in various other areas. The last one we looked at was the area of the giving of Scripture, the inspiration of the Word of God. Now today I want us to proceed even further as we look at the realm in which the Spirit of God operates, and I want us to think of the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through our Bibles, we will find that the Holy Spirit was, and I think I can say still is, vitally active and involved in every part and at every stage of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, I say right at the beginning today that some of what we have to look at in the Word of God will perplex you as it perplexes me. My job is to preach what the Bible says. My job is not to be able to explain so that God is understood. I can't do that. I can preach, and that will be for our edification, for it always does us good to know and to believe what God says about himself. But there will be things that will certainly be beyond our ability to explain, just as I can't even begin to explain myself. I think I can say I cannot begin to explain the being and the person of God. So I just give you that as a wee warning right at the top of the message and get you ready to do some serious study in the Word of God in this subject. The very first area in which the Holy Spirit operates in the ministry of Christ is, of course, in his incarnation. Now, when you turn to Scripture, you find that the entire Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all said to be involved in the incarnation, just as in creation. For instance, the Father is involved, because Hebrews 10, verse 5, gives us the word of Christ himself. He's speaking to his Father, and he says, "A body thou hast prepared me." So the Father is clearly vitally involved in the incarnation. The Son of God himself is obviously vitally involved in the incarnation. In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 6, we read that he who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was found in fashion as a man. So the Son was involved, but in a very special and preeminent way. The formation, and I use that word as being the best that I can come up with in my knowledge of the English language, the formation of the humanity of Jesus Christ is peculiarly attributed to the Spirit of God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and in verse 18, you have these words. Note them carefully. Matthew 1:18. The very end of the verse, speaking of Mary, while she was still a virgin, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and you'll find that, if anything, it's stated even more precisely. We have here the message of the angel to Mary, and Mary asks the question, verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How shall a virgin give birth to a child?" The answer is, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, I want you to get that very, very clearly. I don't want to take much time in actually expounding those verses, because there's a lot of ground for us to cover. But there are a couple of things that I need, just in passing, to touch on and put some heretical opposition out of the way. For example, the Unitarians come to this verse, and they say that, it was after his birth and because of his birth that he was called the Son of God. Therefore, he couldn't have been the Son of God from all eternity. This is an attack, obviously, upon the absolute and essential deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unitarians have blinkers on when they come to the Bible. They have not only blinkers in their eyes, but they have darkness in their heart, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. And I tell you, the mistake they are making is that they are confounding two things. They are confounding an eternal reality, namely the sonship and the deity of Jesus Christ on the one hand, and the confession of that fact in point of time by the Church of Christ. Because of the virgin birth of Christ, because God the Son has actually taken a human nature into personal union with himself and has personally come into the world, because of that incarnation, throughout the world there is now a church which confesses him to be the Son of God. That does not constitute him the Son of God. That merely calls him the Son of God. And it is a great fallacy to confound the two. Something else. You will notice the word, "Wherefore also that holy thing shall be called the Son of God." And here again, Unitarians, of course not believing in the inspiration of Scripture, are very slovenly in their exegesis of the Word of God. "We believe that all Scripture, even down to the smallest particles of it, is inspired of God." And this word also, "Wherefore also this shall be called the Son of God." If this also shall be called the Son of God, the indication is that that title belonged primarily, and yes, essentially and eternally, not to the human nature, but to the divine nature of Jesus Christ. "This also shall be called the Son of God." Why? Because it is brought into personal union with that which is eternally the Son of God. It's a very important verse, this, here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. But this formation of the substance of Mary, of the human nature of Jesus Christ, and I'll come back to that phrase, of the substance of Mary. I'll come back to that a little later. But this formation of the substance of Mary, of the human nature of Jesus Christ, is set down to this efficient cause. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore, as the direct result of that supernatural activity of the Spirit of God in the womb and upon the substance of the Virgin Mary, as the direct result, that which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. As the result of this, we can say Christ was truly man. It's a true humanity that our Savior bears because of the action of the Holy Spirit. But we can say because of that divine activity, it was a sinless humanity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.